Okay, welcome to the panel on online family safety. I'm Kitech. I'm the assistant director here at this track, and this panel is my idea. So blame me when you get bored or whatever. My experience is 28 years as a computer user since the age of 6, and a highly digital household, including 3 kids, the oldest of which is standing at the back with horns on right now.
Hi.
And the practical uses that I've found work with dealing with a house full of kids with electronic devices.
Make them work for it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, my name is Jeff Termeshuizen. I've got a master's in cybersecurity and currently working on a second master's in international security and intelligence studies. I used to work for a company that did video and audio recording and analysis, and I currently work for a payment processing company.
I'm Dave Moss. I am an investigative researcher at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, where I send lots of public records requests to government agencies to look at how they deal with surveillance.
And I am June Williams from Buzzy Mag. We are publishers, both of audiobooks, and of course we have our magazine with news, reviews, interviews, and original fiction. And it's the original fiction that we sort of really touches on family safety for us. You would not believe what people think is acceptable for a 15-year-old to read.
So, shall we, anybody want to start?
I can start.
Yes, go ahead.
So I have nothing to tell you about what you should be doing, but I can tell you what you should not be doing. Last year, something popped up on our radar. I was just sort of searching through a district attorney's website, and I came across a advertisement from the district, a press release from the district attorney about a piece of software called Computer Cop. And I've edited together a little video. Well, before I show you the video first, this is a piece of software that law enforcement agencies around the country have been giving out to families, mostly for free, telling them that this is how they protect their safety online. And I've got a little video to show you how this is promoted by law enforcement agencies, and hopefully it works. So there are over 250 law enforcement agencies in this country that have given out this disc to people, and it does not keep strangers out of your home. It does not protect your children. But you would, you know, based on the way they're presenting it, you think it would. You think this would be some sort of official product. This is how it's given out to, let me see if I can, I'm sort of blindly trying to, you'll have to deal with it. So this is what it looks like when they give it out to families. They kind of brand it with their department, they put their department seal on it, they, you know, maybe put a bunch of them on there, maybe put their sheriff's truck on it, and then they give it out saying, you know, use this. So we started looking into it, and we obtained a few copies, and we ran a security analysis of it, and there are a few things we discovered. One is that most copies of it include a keylogger, so when you install it on your computer, the way it functions is that it is saving everything that your child types onto your hard drive, but you can also configure it to send you an email whenever your kid types a particular keyword that you've set. So presumably you'd say, oh, drugs. So if the kid types drugs, you start getting emails of your key logs on it. Now, it's sending those and it's saving them, but it's not doing it encrypted at all. So basically it is, your kid is in a coffee shop with this software on his computer, and anyone with, you know, a freely available, you know, packet sniffer is going to be able to read your kid's mind in a coffee shop. You know, the normal protections that you would have from, say, using HTTPS everywhere, you know, over secure communications, totally undermined because the communications are no longer secure because you're just sending them out. If you actually load this software, I mean, it looks like it was built in 1998, and that's because it was built in 1998. At the time that it was introduced, it was called Bo Deedle's One Tough Computer Cop, And Bo Deedle was this New York Police Department celebrity detective, and that year he had a movie come out about his life starring Stephen Baldwin called One Tough Cop. And so they were marketing this at the time, you know, saying, hey, One Tough Cop, you know, buy the software that goes with the movie. Eventually, Bo Deedle was no longer famous, so they rebranded it, and it's just this company out of New York that makes nothing other than the software, and they don't even really update the software. They just market it, and they go to law enforcement agency around the country and say, hey, I hear you have some grants that you're sitting on. I hear you have some asset forfeiture money that you don't know what to spend. Give us 25 grand. We'll give you 5,000 copies. We'll send a video crew to your department, shoot one of these cheesy videos of you, put it on the disc, put your logo on the disc, and then you have a great PR moment. In fact, the promotional flyer that they have actually says on it, perfect for elections and fundraising. But really, I mean, it's bad software in general. It's unsecure software, and yet law enforcement agencies around the country are using it. And that is a map I sort of put together of every place that is distributing this software. It's just by state, but some places like Alaska bought enough copies for, quote, every school, public library, and police agency in the country. I mean, in the state. So, you know, basically, you know, my tip for online safety is don't ever install a piece of software that the police give you. That's me.
Okay. So you know what not to do now, but what are the basics? Well, the first thing of all that I've found is don't panic. Okay. The Chris Hansen style, there's a predator out there, isn't as common as most people would think. It's a highly selective and entrapped system that they gauge. What they don't show you in most of those shows is the, you know, 300, 400 people they tried to get the five, even with their target team. So the first thing is, you know, the catch a predator is very overblown. It's very, very rare. The biggest problem, in fact, is often called doxing. Your own children putting their own information out. And no software is going to stop, certainly no software at all is going to stop if a child posts an email to somebody or it's you know, they post their picture. That's not, no software is really going to stop that. It's not going to stop anything when they're inviting it in. So good information security and teaching them, you know, about keeping personal stuff personal is key. And I think the second thing is to teach them the golden rule. Once it hits the internet, it never comes off. And a lot of people don't realize that. In fact, just a month or two ago, I had to teach one of the people who work at Nominet, which are the people who run the .co.uk domain. I had to teach them that very fact that once it goes on the internet, it never comes off. And these are IT professionals who don't realize that. But children have to learn that because there were certain photographs are especially compromising. There was a case in the news recently, a 15-year-old boy, or no, he was 17-year-old, had sent a picture to his girlfriend. His girlfriend's parents saw it, didn't like it. And the prosecutor, it was in Virginia, got a court order. And they were going to force the boy to have a evidential picture of his penis taken. And if it wasn't erect, then they were going to force him to have an injection to make it erect to take a photograph. And they got not one court order to do that, but two court orders to do that. And these are the problems. It's not, you know, predators coming in that the software claims to protect against, but it's often the child's own actions. And as I say, no software, no controls can do that. That's basic parenting that has to do that. So the biggest thing for online safety is proper parenting to begin with, and not some kind of software or tool panacea.
It's pretty much the same things. Like, we all teach kids that, you know, you don't run around naked in public after like 2 years old. You don't go up and pick fights with people in public. You don't swear at people. You don't bully people, that sort of thing. But that does not seem to get translated to the internet very well. And I know tomorrow we've got a panel on the right to be forgotten, which is exactly that issue of things that go onto the internet stay there forever. And the case is about a guy in Europe who got, I think it was denied a job because of something he, like a misdemeanor or something he'd done like years ago, that probation, everything was over with. But when they did a background check on just a general internet search, this popped up. So he sued under privacy laws basically to have that revoked, and that after a certain point, you should be able to be forgotten, because once it's out there, it's always out there. And there are actually sites out there, I think it's archive.org, which do nothing but just back up every site that it can find. So everything that it can find on the internet, its sole purpose is to make a copy of it, that at some point you can go search through that. So AOL, GeoCities, all these things that haven't existed for more than a decade, are, you can still go find original pages that were backed up to this place, and you, anyone can get to it from the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's pictures of me floating around, called the Internet Wayback Machine.
Yep.
And there's pictures of me from like 97, 98, age 19, 20, running around in Star Trek uniforms at a convention in the UK. Not a pretty sight, really.
I'm just going to boot up my computer here.
And you're going to go look for them?
Yeah, so, yeah, you want to add, June?
Well, the thing is, everything you said is correct, and part of good parenting is if a child is under an age where you can feel that they are really responsible, a computer should never be in their bedroom. Mm-hmm. It should always be in a public area where the parent could be walking through at any moment, because children will act differently in their bedroom than they will in the living room, and it's just a plain fact. And of course the parents should every once in a while check over the shoulder. I mean, you don't want to be, you know, overwhelming and overbearing with a child, but considering the delicacy that we're talking about, where something can follow them for their lifetime, and where one, while it may be true that there aren't predators around every corner, but it's also true that they do exist. So, you know, keeping them out of the line of fire is really important.
And in fact, a lot of the times now, the actual predators these days are more the district attorneys themselves. They're as much the predators nowadays, trying to get easy child porn convictions, even if it's, you know, for selfies. They can get a child porn conviction. They can, I'm going to go for state attorney general. You know, I've got all these convictions for child porn. I'm clearing the internet up, sort of thing. You had the same thing. Andrew Cuomo said that, basically destroyed news groups, the Usenet on the internet, by championing it as New York Attorney General to get rid of news groups from first Yahoo, AOL, AT&T stopped in New York, and then they stopped everywhere, and it basically killed an entire protocol for child porn, which wasn't really even an issue on the thing, but it was a campaign issue. As with the software, it's a great fundraiser and campaign issue.
You also want to make sure that their social security number doesn't end up on the internet, because they're just dumb enough. You know, kids are nice, and they can be really, really smart. They could have a, you know, a 260 IQ, and still they'll say, "Oh, I get this free little widget. All I have to do is put my name, address, and my social security number. What could be the harm?"
You know? Lots of adults fall for that as well. It's what Nigerian scams are based on. I mean, how many people say, "Oh, all I've got to do is pay $5,000, I'm going to get $7 million"? Okay, you know.
But we have to protect the kids. I mean, you want the adults to be.
Everybody, you know, even adults fall for it. So you got to, especially with the kids.
Especially with the kids.
Yeah. So yes, keep them public, and especially at least until you know, late teens. Keep passwords. Keep a copy of their passwords. Even if you don't use them, you're not sure. If there's an exploit. You know, a site gets compromised, if they're at school, you could still change them and get them so that their accounts aren't compromised then and their information taken,
and
like a Facebook.
And of course the other part of this is cyberbullying, which perhaps the predator thing is overstated, but the cyberbullying thing is not. And, you know, to protect your children from that, or being that way, is, you know, again, if they have the privacy and it's less annoying to you to have it out of your sight, it really is not a good idea. You know,
and
just,
I'm saying, a lot of times the kids who are, that are in many cases being the cyber bullies are not doing it maliciously. If you Google the term "I faced my internet troll," you'll find a story about a well-known blogger who was actually scared offline by a person who was sending him packages like to his house with like dead flowers, threats against his wife and his kids. And it turned out to be a neighbor's son who thought this was just funny. But in the meantime, the guy had been losing sleep, you know, depression, all kinds of pretty much PTSD. And when he finally sat down, when they told the parents were like, we need to call the cops because he's in trouble. And the victim was actually like, no, let's just sit down and talk to him first. So they sat down, they brought up the issue, and the kid just burst out. He's like, I had no idea that was the effect. You know, it was a game. And a lot of times that it starts off as a game and you start getting attention, so it becomes more of a game because it switches from getting attention to be, can I get away with it? And so there's many times there's not a malicious intent behind it. It's simply kids being kids because they don't have the life experience to realize that this type of thing is not okay, and there are actually consequences on both ends of it.
Yeah, definitely. Keeping an eye on things just to, you know, help build their interpersonal interactions as well, because there's a lot of even adults, young adults, that aren't. Hang on.
So I was going to ask about keeping the family computer in the family room. I've heard that advice before, but it feels to me like a lot of people now are using the internet on mobile devices like tablets
and phones.
Things, and you can't really keep those out of the kids' bedroom, it seems to me.
Well, you can keep a child that is too young from having one of those, or you could have a cell phone but not necessarily have internet access on the cell phone, and it's your responsibility as a parent to decide, is my child ready for that? And you know, it's easier to provide it than it is to be Mr. Grumpy or Mrs. Grumpy saying, no, I, you know, not yet, you know, maybe when you're 16, or maybe you just, you're doing it out of love for them, but they're not appreciating it. And you don't have to leave them without a cell phone. You just have to leave them without internet access on the cell phone. And yes, their friends can show it to them, just like their friends could have shown them porn or anything else. But
come on, hands up. Who saw porn before they were legally of age to do it? You know, yeah, yeah. Pretty much every male hand in the room, it seems. At least there's a limit to it.
Yeah. But you can reduce the amount of exposure, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you can also, a lot of your routers and stuff you can buy these days can also be blocked off hours. You can actually say that certain MAC addresses, certain computers on your network cannot access the internet between such and such hour. So if they're using their phones via the local Wi-Fi, you can block it from that. And there are some companies who will either give you a cell phone or a cell plan where you can do the same thing from the cell side. So that after a certain time, at like 8 or 9 at night, whatever, they've still got phone functionality, but the Wi-Fi drops even if they're on 3G or 4G or a Wi-Fi network.
And that's the other thing. Don't rely entirely on software-based stuff, though, because as we've seen, my main expertise is peer-to-peer software and BitTorrent, similar things. We've all heard about, I'm sure, the federal government, the UK government's trying to block peer-to-peer sites, you know, take down the Pirate Bay, for instance. And yeah, how well is that going? Anybody know how well a government trying to block a single website is? And as a parent, you think you've got the resources to match to take down a billion websites from your one device? No, it's just not going to happen. We've got a friend who's got a 7-year-old with a tablet. He's gone through 3 different parental control sandboxing software packages. He's actually managed to crack his way out of them by race conditions and other things, and he's 7, I think that. And his dad is a IT professional for a major company here in Atlanta. Yeah, and he's outdoing him at 7, just like I was outdoing my father when I was 7 at programming and things like that.
How many you guys were had kids when VCRs were still around?
Kind of.
How many of you had kids who could program the thing to stop flashing 12:00 before you could? That's okay. It's
locked. How about the microwave?
Yeah, kids. I find the reason kids do things is because not afraid to go push a button. As adults, we get, you know, you start thinking about consequences. and you, what happens if I push the button? There's a big button here, and it says don't push it, so I probably shouldn't because something could happen. Kids are like, let's see what happens and push it. And they deal with the consequences after the fact. And that sort of experimentation gets them to the point that they find things that the best security people in the world haven't come across yet because they haven't gotten down that far.
Or they just haven't had the thought to even try it.
Right.
And I think the best way of stating that is a quote by Douglas Adams, who is, anything that was around when you were born or up before the age of 5 is a normal way of life. Anything between the age of 5 and 35 is invented between the age of 5 and 35 is new and exciting, you can make a career out of it. Anything that's invented after the age of 35 is unnatural and evil and should be avoided at all costs.
Sorry.
He's back here.
I just wanted to know if you talk to software and so forth.
I have a 9-year-old. I'm trying to get him to I'm trying to let him safely access the internet. And I've
safely.
Probably spent 4 or 5 hours trying to weed through what is out there, what works best, what will tap into databases to keep them away from, you know, all sorts of things, and it's a nightmare trying to figure this out.
Well, the first thing is to install the same stuff that adults should. Various plugins for, say, Firefox that are blocking ad trackers and persistent cookies. We have one that we put out recently called Privacy Badger that's worth checking out, and HTTPS everywhere. I mean, those basic stuff to protect you will also protect your child.
The problem is you're looking at it from a trying to protect the children sort of thing.
Yeah.
The software for that sort of thing doesn't really work. Never has, never will. Because what you're trying to block specifically is not rigid and fluid enough. As I say, the government can't even manage to block one website that's, you know, pretty obvious, and it's one of the 50 biggest, most visited sites in the US, and they can't block it. So you as one parent trying to block, you know, 11 billion sites out there, all trying to get past this same kind of block, trying to avoid it because, you know, schools are doing it. The site I work for is actually on a number of these blocks. I work for a site called torrentfreak.com, and we are blocked in a number of libraries here in Georgia because we're a peer-to-peer site. I said, no, we're a new site. We're the one who broke the net neutrality fight. So I went back, I emailed them the thing. So they came back a couple hours later, changed the rule. Yeah, we're now blocked because we're an immoral site. So that you end up being a victim of people's perceptions as much as anything when it comes to those sorts of sites as well.
Sorry, I was going to go off to continue on that topic, but does anybody have any other answers to his question, though?
So you certainly can't block everything, but like with services like OpenDNS, I mean, you could pretty much cover a lot of things. Are you familiar with that service?
Oh, OpenDNS. Yeah, that's the Google-based one. I usually use OpenNIC as well, which adds another batch of top-level domains as well that's outside the ICANN system.
Okay.
But as I said, the problem is you're trying to block content. The tools, he said, is to block the real problems, which are the privacy-stealing aspects. But the actual content, because the content's going to be out there anyway, you can block the inadvertent stuff, the pop-up ads, with the ad blocker, the explicit ads. But if he wants to go look for the explicit content, there's no software you can buy, you can install, that's ever going to stop that. Because, you know, all he's going to do is go to Google, go to Bing, search for it, and turn off the...
Google how to turn off.
Well, no, even just the safe search level on Bing, you just turn it from moderate or strict to off. And you're just going to do it and...
What about monitoring that, right? Is there some service that can monitor it across devices?
Not effectively.
No. It's an arms race, basically. And, you know, anything you can control for your as a parent, institutions can do to control it, can do the exact same things to their employees, and then there's people who want, you know, their employees trying to get around it. And once the employees trying to get around it, then they say, hey, this works. And they share it to their other co-workers, and then the same tricks end up... Because it's the same basic software for company firewalls as it is for your home firewall. So anything you can get around at work, the kids will find out about and get around at home. So it's a losing proposition in the main thing. Instead, the better way is to, I find, sort of attack it from a different perspective, and that's, you know, as a parenting aspect, talk through them, talk about the content itself, often demystify it because kids often search because they're curious. So if you, you know, a lot like alcohol, a lot of teen drinking is because alcohol's banned, alcohol's bad. So you take away the mystery, that the cachet of, you know, hey, I'm breaking the rules, then that, you know, take away the glamour of being the bad, the rebel, then often don't tend to search for it so much, and you take away the rebelliousness of it.
But is there anything for inadvertent? I mean, my son really doesn't want to go there.
Right.
What?
Not.
What three things would you say have this running in the Firefox?
Ad block.
I would say one.
No script.
I mean, we're a big fan. We put out Privacy Badger, which is a good one. But I mean Ghostery is also a decent one.
Yeah.
Ghostery and Privacy Badger they're similar.
No script.
HTTPS everywhere.
Any third party ones? Because I know usually if something's blocked like an IE, I just download Chrome and run it through Chrome, and it bypasses all the IE plugins.
Yeah, that's the other problem is, you know, you block it in a browser specific one. Can you then stop him from installing another browser and using that?
I could tell him just to use this, you know, I believe he would. So
right. So I'm saying.
I've explained to him about the fears of the internet, and he's, you know, gone and looked up content, and he inadvertently, you know, gave himself nightmares. And he was like, I see there are things I don't want from the internet. Do this and you'll be fine. I want to know what I need to be doing on my end.
Like, how do you not get Rickrolled, that sort of thing?
Do you guys recommend any third-party software? Like, not browser-based, but computer-based? Like, you know, CyberNanny, NetNanny, that sort of thing. Not those potentially particular.
No. Personally, if all you're worried about is the inadvertent stuff, the blatant, obvious stuff, then perhaps those kind of NetNanny things may work. Or you can get actually manually edit your host files. That's easy to do. It's a text file in most operating systems. You just add it and you change so it points back to the computer. So you try to go to the best porn site in the world.com, you can change it to your computer, looks up and it always says, okay, the DNS address for the best porn site in the world.com is your own computer. So every time it goes, okay, go to the best porn site in the world, okay, back to this computer, you know, it won't go anywhere. If you can do that, and that's completely free. It's just, you just use a text editor.
And you can actually download lists of those as well. The default one is like about 1K. Mine's currently sitting at about just under a meg, which is tens of thousands of sites, because a lot of them are just the ad trackers, the annoying ones. And just Google for host name lists, and it'll be a straight text file you download and just replace the one on your computer. And it's got everything it's got many of them in there, and you can always add additionally as you find new ones.
So that's often a free and easy way built into your operating system rather than a specific browser or software-based solution. It's actually the operating system itself.
Okay. As a teacher, I encounter this a lot, especially with parents. And the one thing that I tell all parents, because I used to teach computer class, is imagine that the internet is the general world that you existed in when you were younger. Where we used to go out, and if we wanted to see a scary movie, we just snuck in and saw a scary movie.
Yeah.
If they want to find it, they're usually going to find a way to do it. The trick is that I tell the parents is just tell them your expectations. You know you're not supposed to do this. Don't do it. And they're going to try to do it. And then once they do it, they're going to feel guilty about it. And they're going to be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Now, the other part about that is in a school, a lot of the times the stuff that will block, unfortunately, blocks a whole bunch of other educational stuff.
Right, yeah.
And so we have to go back in and manually unblock a whole bunch of different websites for this and this and this. But in general, what we've noticed is the kids know what they're allowed to go to and what they're not. They know they're not supposed to be at school going on Pop Tropica. They get that. They know their limits. But it's one of those where we have to constantly keep reminding them. And I always have parents. This is where my question comes in, so I got blocked. But is there a way, because I've had this question now four times from parents, who want, I know there's a couple ways to put YouTube on where you don't see the ads while you're watching the YouTube video. Is there a way to get to the YouTube and not have the ads at all? I know it's not a software, I think it's just a website you have to download, but like I know about QuietTube, where you can play it.
U2.be.
Say what?
But I thought that was a shortened version.
It was. The problem there is that YouTube makes money off of that.
That's their revenue source, so they don't want you to have it without the ads.
Well, I'm not worried about the ads, it's so much the other videos on the side.
Right, no, but what happens there is that someone come up with a way to do it, then YouTube has a invested interest in finding a way to stop that from being able to happen. So you're constantly basically playing catch up with them because they want you to see those things because that's where they make their money. You don't want them to see it, so someone comes up with a way to do it. YouTube figures out how they did it and then does a way that nullifies that block.
There is actually one way, if I remember right, it's that if you create your own page and embed it yourself, when you go to get the embed code, it can actually, I think there may be an option to turn off similar referring videos, which maybe, so you create your own local page that just embeds it, you may be able to turn them off embed code.
You can also click privacy mode as well.
To them, and I put all the videos I use at school, I embed it myself in my own website so that when the kids view it at home to do the assignment,
right,
they don't see all the other stuff. Their parents love it, but now they obviously they want more. So.
That's the only real way. It's a long manual process, but that's about it.
Going through and finding what you don't like and then embed.
I wanted to respond to some other things that you said. So, you know, we recently learned that there's this company called Lightspeed that provides web censoring services to schools across the country. And we had recently discovered that EFF.org was registered as like a malicious site for them because we had pages linking to Tor, the anonymity, you know, circumvention site. And we were furious. We were furious because we get calls from high school students and high school teachers all the time. We have kids come and do interviews. I mean, we have lots of information and resources. And to find out that arbitrarily somebody had said, oh, well, if they go to this site, there's like one page on there where they're going to figure out how to get around, you know, the type of software that blocks Iranian dissidents from accessing the outside world. That means everything is banned. We got them to change it, which is great. I think they still block the actual single page, but everything else is fine. But it's interesting with schools, and I think that you know, if we're talking about online family safety, that it's apparent that as a parent, that when you're you care about playground safety, you care about, you know, the quality of teachers you hire, but you also need to care about the quality of technology. More and more schools are sending iPads home with kids, sending other kinds of devices,
Netbooks.
You know, sending home software, sending home things that they're not necessarily really putting into consideration privacy or what kind of things they're installing and sending into your home. And there are school administrators out there who have decided that it's their job to police bullying outside of the school. It's their job to police accessing sites. And you have to decide, am I the one who's going to be the parent, or is the principal going to be the parent when it comes to what is done outside of the school? So when you're going to, you know, if you're going to PTA meetings, if you're going to school board meetings, this is something to watch for on the agenda. Whenever they're approving new technology, make sure that there's a discussion over privacy, that there is some sort of privacy policy that is discussed before, and you know, make sure you look at this before they start sending an iPod into your home or an iPad into your home.
It's more embarrassing, but it's easier to manage the kids than it is to manage the technology, simply because you know your kids better than any software ever will, and you know what their buttons are. The biggest, and obviously you guys care about this because you're here, but talk to your friends about this as well. They will have them. It's a lot more awkward to have talks about sex and bad things on the internet than it is to just install software that'll block them. But it's not nearly as effective, because I would wager money every single time that your kid will find a way around your blocks within a week of it being there. Their communication networks are way better than yours. When you guys installed a piece of software to block something, how many of you told your friends to do the same thing? How many of you basically walk them through the process of installing that software?
Actually, how many of you actually have something like NetNanny or NetProtect or something installed for your kids?
I put it on people's computers, but But it doesn't work.
Did you normally tell your friends about when you do that sort of thing? Do you walk them through the process? Because every time one kid figures out a way, the next update, the biggest topic of school will be how to get around that. And that'll go through all of their information networks. It'll go through Facebook, go through Snapchat. The kids will adopt software before you guys even heard about it. They'll probably be onto the next thing before most parents catch up with it. And it doesn't mean the parents are bad parents. It just means that the parents aren't operating at the same level the kids are, which in many ways is kind of scary. But it means that unless the parent is someone who's absolutely all time up to date on everything IT, he's probably got an even chance of, or she's got an even chance of being at the kid's level.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's always a catch up game.
I mean, I'm an IT journalist. I work for, a new site on the cutting edge of, BitTorrent, P2P technology, all that sort of thing. My daughter's 17, she's not, and often she's heard of some kinds of software and played with it before I've even heard of it, gotten it, what have you, so,
Let's see, will you admit having got around any software your dad placed on the computers?
Yes, I have.
How long did it take you to get around it?
About
10
minutes.
how fast did you tell your kid? How fast did you tell your friends about it?
But pretty much the next day, I've let everybody know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you guys spent, what, maybe $100, $150 on a piece of software that your kid broke in 10 minutes? Which means you're going to go buy another one.
I mean, I can't emphasize enough. I mean, this we talk a lot about online hygiene. We don't really, aren't discussing this with children, people in general, but the idea that, we talk about brushing our teeth and flossing, and we talk about making sure you shower, and you wash your hands and you use your hand sanitizer, and when you speak to your kids, making sure that they know that there are these certain things that you need to do on a regular basis. You need to run your antivirus software. You need to make sure you're clearing your cache and your history, and make sure that you're running a software that's going to be blocking ads. It's being proactive and making sure your kids are thinking about this as they're going about, even if it's kind of a pain, just like brushing your teeth or showering is.
In fact, I think the Anthony Weiner problem, I think, is probably the best way to put it. That is the biggest danger with children these days, is basically the Anthony Weiner problem.
Politicians.
Hey, no. Take a picture, selfie, mirror, whatever thing, and then send it, and then it goes everywhere. So that's the biggest problem with the internet and children right now, is definitely the selfie problem. This is a bigger problem for every child and their safety.
Oh, great. Then you just linked me with child problems. Thank you very much.
Well, not that specifically, but that or this or, a phone, tablets, laptops with webcams, those are the biggest problems, because that's what causes the problems these days, a lot of the time. And again, we go to the bullying. And the other big problem is, of course, getting into an online fight with some trolls, and especially groups like, and I'm not afraid to say it, groups like 4chan and B, and getting on the wrong side of those, and then trying to anonymous that group, and having them try to dox them. Can we find out about this person? Oh, here's this photo we found on Facebook that looks like them. Has it got the EXIF data? Has it got the GPS coordinates from when they just posted their profile picture on Facebook embedded in it? Has the Facebook tag been embedded in it? Okay, we've got the location. Now we've got the location, can we get the thing? And then this, then we get this, then we get this. And then they build up a whole picture. And, the online fighting is another thing to worry about. There's a Rule 7 in the Dragon Con thing of, rules of conduct, and I think it's basically don't be a jerk. That works for online as well, because being a jerk online ends up often getting some people in trouble when you're a jerk to the wrong person.
June, you were saying something earlier?
Well, I was going to say that while I hold parents primarily responsible for everything, because it's their children, I'm also very disappointed in one of the largest corporations that we have, which is Google. I know what you said about Pirate Bay, and you're right. But I will tell you that if Google wanted to take Pirate Bay down, they could do it like that. They can do it like that because they have control of ranking. They can, I mean, if somebody were to type in precisely piratebay.com, perhaps not, but if they were going to Google it and get it, any ranking can be manipulated by them. I mean, anything.
They have no ranking on, they've been taken
off.
No,
they don't. They haven't. So, just in general, for most of the like porn sites and other types of sites that your child might accidentally come across, a lot of that doesn't have to really be available till they get to the 30th page. And you know what? Kids are they don't have the energy.
Well, it's the third page. The third page is like 3% of people click that back.
That's
to the
what
third
I'm saying.
Page.
So
but
if
then
they
again,
can just
kids
push
search
those
deliberately.
Down.
If they're going to look for it, they're going to look for it deliberately. The accidental is often very low percentage of.
But
of
I think
it.
That's
yeah.
what he was concerned
he was
about the
yeah.
accidental. So the accidental doesn't have to happen, and Google really could help a lot on a lot of these things. They have a lot more control, and you know that because they follow you. You know your ads follow you as you go from site to site. So there is a tremendous amount of power, and with power should come responsibility.
But at the same time, you run the risk of the opposite happening. Did you hear about, in the UK, there's this organization called the Internet Watch Foundation. They're a kind of government kind of thing, and their basic job is to look for, find, detect, trace back child pornography. Trace it back, pass it on to the police. They're an actual license to investigate child pornography. But you've heard of So this group, there's a band called Scorpions. Probably all heard of, No One Likes You and all that sort of thing. Rock You Like a Hurricane, Scorpions.
That's Scorpions? Winds of Change?
Something like that. Well, they had an album called Virgin Killer. And on the front is the album cover is, it's borderline child pornography. A bit like the Brooke Shields movie Pretty Baby. It depends on your perspective, what you consider. It's on that fine line. Well, they decided that to flag it as it is on the Wikipedia page. So then every person in the UK, because the Internet Watch Foundation puts out an automatic list that all UK ISPs block, they screwed up and anybody who wasn't logged in from the UK that went to Wikipedia was blocked from accessing it because of this one image that was not even technically illegal in
Good
the UK.
Lord, yeah.
So that's yeah. the other side of the coin with the
oh,
Google.
Oh no, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. I
if
just
you weren't logged in, you didn't go through the secure site, then you couldn't get into Wikipedia at all if you're in the UK. So that was the other problem about the problems of trying to rely on software.
Does anybody use things like Find My iPhone or other software to watch your kids all the time?
Not all the time, but use it occasionally to see where they are.
Right. I mean, I recently heard about a friend of my fiance's who has tracking her like 17-year-old child all the time, and I find that really troubling because I really don't like the idea of normalizing. The idea that you're being watched all the time, and the kids know, and I don't like the idea of kids growing up thinking that and acting only, under.
And you mean the 17? They haven't figured out how to block GPS.
Apparently not.
GPS.
Well, a lot of the that's part of my question is I don't have kids, so I'm coming from an IT standpoint. I run a small little shop, and I get asked a lot because parents here, the people here, care.
Mm-hmm.
Most parents that I talk to want me to be
the
guy, but they do not want to talk about their kids, whether it be an embarrassment or a religious reason. They do not want to talk to their kids about this. They would rather just push everything into the closet, lock the door, and go, don't ask what's in there. And so I get asked 2 to 3 times a week to install various levels of this software. And instead, and I kind of come where you guys are coming from, I go, hey, you just need to talk to your kids. No, I don't want to do that.
Take
and
their
I,
money.
And, but these kids, they're asking me, and I've been asked to do many a times come to churches and talk to people about this. And I'm worried because the only thing I can go in there and do is use scare tactics. And because I can't go, use this, 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 and this, you're good. If I could give you a BuzzFeed top five things to do to keep yourself safe on the internet, mm-hmm. I'd be on BuzzFeed and not, telling people actual real facts. And so I'm kind of stuck. I want to help these people out to a point, and I've got ranging from I don't want them to see porn to install Mobile Spy, which is what I've done in various situations. And my big question is the legality standpoint. Me being the content broker, me being the guy, me being the man, where am I in a legality standpoint of being able to install this software?
I think you picked the one panel that doesn't have a single lawyer on it.
No. I just worry because...
Kurt
just hide.
We can ask him.
I get asked to install many, many, many times. Will you put the software on there that shows me everything? And they want to see text messages, phone calls. And I can install that software, but it very, very, very worries me that I'm rooting someone's kid's cell phone, putting the software on it, blocking it from being able to be turned off, and now I have access to their stuff because it goes through a web portal. And
who set it up, so you don't have to. You have to input the passwords to,
yes,
to set
and
it
I
up.
Have to, and I have access to this, and I know.
But are you using it?
No, but I have it. No, but having access to it is bad as using it. In my mind,
gets burgled. You know, your shop gets broken into. Well, your computer gets stolen. Your access goes. And
yeah, what if you know? And I have certain levels I have to have for having, you know, TeamViewer and various other login software for HIPAA regulations. I have to have a certain amount of passwords to get to the point where you could log into a healthcare computer.
Right.
The same thing. If someone got my stuff and really wanted, I'm not just talking about a meth head that steals my laptop to sell at the pawn shop, but someone that got my stuff and wanted to get to this, now they have access through the various means of communication, and being probably smarter than I am about security. I'm not the greatest security person in the world. I fix computers. And someone could get this. And so if I have access to their kids' stuff, and then their kids are doing, or even if their kids are sending sexting stuff, and now am I looking at it from an IT guy, and I'm supposed to be the one, am I going to get in trouble for child porn? And see, this
have,
is
have,
such
does Georgia have a mandatory reporting requirement for IT folks?
For what?
Don't.
Well, I mean, California passed one. It's like
I don't
like
know
the
what
geeks, the Geek Squad.
Your best thing there is hire yourself a local lawyer. Who knows both your state and your local thing? Because yes, if you are just doing this as a business, odds are you probably would be prosecuted, or at the very
least
you'd wind up in court.
Yeah.
And see, that's what I worry about, because I would like to kind of take this, boil it down, and give it to people, because I just put the fear of God in people, and that's the best thing that I can do, and I want to be able to help these people out, because these are my clients, and they're coming to me, and they're worried, and I tell them, talk to them, but that's not going to happen.
Okay.
So I assume otherwise.
This, I'm thinking of two different approaches to this. First one's to tell them, you know, sure, the talk to your kids might be embarrassing, but how much more embarrassing is it when the software fails, and you end up having to talk to your neighbors, your people at church, after the DA's filed child porn charges against somebody in your family? How much more embarrassing is that going to be?
Including the child, which has happened.
Yeah, that actually happens more often than not nowadays. The second option is, in the story I was trying to remember, it was a school district who had laptops that went home. And this is a story I was mainly told by a guy called Cory Doctorow. Thing, and if only he'd stopped going to Burning Man and come here 1 year. Corey, if you're listening,
I
want you.
Corey's in England. So.
No, he's a Burning Man.
Is he in Burning Man now?
Yeah.
Oh. Told me he was going to be in England. So.
This school district had laptops they gave to the children. These laptops had tracking software on it in case, you know, the laptops were stolen. Well, these laptops were going off, and they decided, you know, to activate the school district, the principal or something, decided to activate them during the night to make sure, you know, the kids weren't doing anything wrong, as we were talking about earlier. And these laptops then, with this monitoring software, started, you know, pictures of kids in their bedrooms, sometimes getting undressed, things like that. And all it's got to do is, yeah, there was a lot of settlements. It was about 2 years ago. Unfortunately, I don't remember the details exactly at this point. It's been a long convention already. But The same thing happened with software. Anybody know of any software that's never had any kind of security exploit or bug? Basically, you can tell the page, okay, there's this software. You better hope it doesn't get exploited, or else they've got access to all your kids' stuff, and they can track your kids, and they can watch your kids get naked.
Mm-hmm.
You want to put that software on now? That's the more of the fear of the God thing you're talking about.
For your perspective, go talk to a lawyer, because even if you're never convicted, if you're associated with it, you will always be that guy.
I'm in a religious town. Basically, if I got my name dragged through the mud, I may as well just shut my doors and go home, because no one's going to trust me at that point.
And that's you better barricade your doors, because if it's really town, they're going to come with the torches and the pitchforks, and they're going to screen you up, boy.
And the white sheets, because it's that kind of town. And
all you can do there
know
is
that kind of town.
All you can do there is pretend up front.
Yeah.
You need to get whatever disclosures that you give to the parents that say, you acknowledge as the parent that I am doing this, you have given permission to do this on behalf of your child, because parents do have a legal right to varying degrees to monitor their children.
As long as they're 18 and under and live in their house or something like that.
It changes according to state, which is why you need to talk to the lawyer.
So I need to get a lawyer, forms, sign the forms.
And it has to be explained to them.
Because
what happens then is if anything does happen, you will probably still have to go explain what happened, but you highly limit your liability as far as that goes, because you've taken all due diligence at that point to both inform the parent of the risks of what's going on. The parents have actively signed off on it, and they acknowledge that they realize there are some things beyond your control. Because if someone's targeting you specifically, like I said, if it's a random method, they probably won't get anything. If someone's targeting you specifically, they will get your stuff. There's no way you can stop them every time, all the time. So the only thing you can do there is get the law on your side that you're covered before you ever install that software. Because you can always go back and say, we explained this to you, you guys signed off on it, you knew the risks and everything else, a bad thing happened, we're very sorry, but it's the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
You're still gonna be very unpopular, but at least you're probably won't file charges.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm CYA across the board is basically.
Yeah.
I mean,
even the greatest security icon be protected. I mean, is it Brian Krebs? Is it who's been?
Krebs on security.
He's one of the top security researchers online. He's been swatted and pizza bombed and everything. You know, his information. He's one of the top security researchers. His information's gotten out, and he's been targeted before. And so, as a parent, any sufficiently determined attack is going to get what they want. So
I think it's something that David said earlier, though. He was talking to your kids about all the things with the computers and, how it's set up and whatnot. The other benefit to that is your kids start talking back to you.
Yeah.
So if you're talking to them and talking, first explain how to set up the computer and, why we don't go here, how we do this, they'll start telling you about everything they know about computers as well. And odds are you'll be at least at the same level as they are, or very near to it, versus trying to play catch up with them because you don't know what they're doing as far as the computer goes. So you'll actually learn a lot as to what's current with the kids, and then you can spread it around to the other parents and say, most of the things that are out there that cause trouble are not really bad software. It's just used badly or with poor judgment.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, kids are kids, and it's going to take them time to learn good judgment. Your best bet there is, once you are talking to them and encourage other folk, it doesn't have to be about sex, just talk about
stuff.
How to set up the computer, basically, and get them to talk back to you. They'll tell you what the latest IM chats are, they'll tell you what the latest trends are, and you can stay abreast of that, so if something does happen, you sort of know where the kids are at that point, or at least very close to it.
Where's the box? There's the box.
Kind of speaking to that, can you recommend, there's a new social app that pops up every other day, and along the lines of Secret or Yik Yak or things of that nature. Can anybody recommend maybe a good resource for parents to stay on top of those kinds of things to educate themselves?
Your children.
Yeah.
Well, specifically, my children are not very active online yet, but I like to stay on top of what's out there, not to restrict it per se, but just to educate yourself. Are there any websites?
Well, the problem is, like you say, they jump up all the time. There's no way you can know every app that's out there.
Of course, yes.
And of course, your kids aren't using every app either. they'll maybe use 1% of the apps that are out there. So you may go and do due diligence on 98%, but the 1% they're using and 2% you didn't search on. Mm. You'll save yourself a lot of time by talking to your kids, because one, you'll know not just what's coming out, but you'll know actively what they're using. And if they're using it, their friends, their community of friends will be using it. Mm-hmm. And so you'll be able to take, like you said, once a pop-up every day by the hundreds, you'll know specifically what small group your kids are using.
Okay. Well, so there's like commonsensemedia.org, you know, that's mm-hmm. something similar to that.
To what?
The commonsensemedia.org website.
I tend to use TechCrunch.
Okay.
They often they're a news site that often focuses a lot on startups and new apps and new things. That's how I found out about that thing in your hand right now.
This is pretty nifty.
It is. It's a great thing. You know, they cover a lot of startups. They do a lot of actually event conventions, kind of like this, but for tech startups. So TechCrunch, CNET, and just, you know, keep an eye on that. Ars Technica sometimes as well, and Wired.
Bucks. You can throw it. Yeah. There we go.
Nice throw. One thing I was curious about, a lot of times it just helps to know just what is going on. And so, like, for instance, I imagine one day, could I just see everything that goes through my router? Could I get a report somehow?
Wireshark. If you Windows, it'll be Wireshark, although it's a lot of packets and a lot of traffic.
Really?
It's a program called Wireshark. Yeah, it'll actually color code each packet type. And it's
but something that prints it out and something I can read.
Well, it'll actually have a display. It'll mark it by the port, the destination, the type, the thing, the actual data packet itself, content, if it's not encrypted. But not unless you're an actual network.
By the high-end routers, most of them have got logging functionality. Most of what your kids will do, he's right, Wireshark is probably the best one out there, but it tells you everything, including the stuff that goes on in the background.
Like your time updates to keep your Windows clock synchronized and things like that.
It's stuff that the kids aren't using in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Invest in a really good router and specifically look for what logging options it gives you.
And also there are some router software that you can upgrade, like OpenWRT or DDWRT.
DDWRT and Tomato.
And some routers can actually be flashed with this special, you know, custom free open source software, which will have those functionalities. Unfortunately.
Untangle or putting an untangle box in front of your router, or, I'm sorry. Untangle does logging and it's free. You can get a Pentium 4 box or something someone's thrown away. Throw that, set it behind, or set all of your routing to go through that, and Untangle will send you a report. And if you all you need to know is MAC addresses or IPs, or I think it does Windows names, and it will send you an email daily, bandwidth traffic, where those websites went, who was using it, what time. So
one last thing, nice little piece of technology here, like a little laptop camera cover. Great for kids.
Piece of tape, yeah.
Yeah, we got them at our booth.
Yeah. I actually have some advice. Don't make your kids not trust you, because then they will hide stuff and you will not be able to find it.
Amen to that.
Don't be too hard on them, otherwise you will lose stuff and they will not trust you and they will just want to get away from you as fast as possible.
Yeah.
He's had some experience with that. Don't be too hard. Trust me.
I also used to teach, I'd be a teaching assistant at a high school in Britain, doing IT stuff. So yeah, it's kind of hard to, teaching IT to 12 to 18 year olds, I think, is not fun. Okay, thank you. That's it. If you liked our panel, please do rate us on the app. We get the feedback, and more importantly, the con staff gets the feedback, and maybe they'll give us funding a bigger room for some other panels as well. We can only hope. But thank you all for coming.